sibilance in it, but the voice made a very good attempt. "Remember where I am? Remember where I am?" shouted Rincewind. "Of course I remember where I am. I'm inside a bloody book talking to a load of voices I can't see. Why do you think I'm screaming?"
"I expect you're wondering why we brought you here again,"
said a voice by his ear. "No."
"No?"
"What did he say?"
said another disembodied voice.
"He said no. He really said no?"
"Yes."
"Oh. Why?"
"This sort of thing happens to me all the time," said Rincewind. "One minute I'm falling off the world, then I'm inside a book, then I'm on a flying rock, then I'm watching Death learn how to play Weir or Damn or whatever it was, and why should I wonder about anything?"
"Well, we imagine you will be wondering why we don't want anyone to say us,"
said the first voice, aware that it was losing the initiative. Rincewind hesitated. The thought had crossed his mind, only very fast and looking nervously from side to side in case it got knocked over. "Why should anyone want to say you?"
"It's the star,"
said the spell.
"The red star. Wizards are already looking for you. When they find you, they want to say all 8 spells together to change the future. They think the disk is going to collide with the star."
Rincewind thought about this.
"Is it?"
"Not exactly, but what's that?"
Rincewind looked down. The luggage padded out of the darkness. There was a long sliver of scythe blade in its lid. "Oh, it's just the luggage," he said.
"But we didn't summon it here."
"No one summons it anywhere," said Rincewind. "It just turns up. Don't worry about it."
"Oh, what were we talking about?"
"This red star thing."
"Oh, right. It's very important that you..." "Hello? Hello? Anyone out there?"
It was a small and squeaky voice and came from the picture box, still slung around Two Flowers' inert neck. The picture imp opened his hatch and squinted up at Rincewind.
"Where's this, Squire?"
it said. "I'm not sure."
"We still dead?"
"Maybe."
"Well, let's hope we go somewhere where we don't need too much black, because I've run out."
The hatch slammed shut. Rincewind had a fleeting vision of Two Flower handing around his pictures and saying things like, "This is me being tormented by a million demons," and "This is me with that funny couple we met on the freezing slopes of the underworld." Rincewind wasn't certain about what happened to you after you really died. The authorities were a little unclear on the subject. A swarthy sailor from the Rimwood lands had said that he was confident of going to paradise, where there was sherbet and houris. Rincewind wasn't certain what a houri was, but after some thought he came to the conclusion that it was a little licorice tube for sucking up the sherbet. Anyway, sherbet made him sneeze.
"Now that the interruption is over,"
said a dry voice firmly,
"perhaps we can get on. It is most important that you don't let the wizards take the spell from you. Terrible things will happen if all 8 spells are said too soon."
"I just want to be left in peace," said Rincewind.
"Good, good. We knew we could trust you from the day you first opened the octavo."
Rincewind hesitated. "Hang on a minute," he said. "You want me to run around keeping the wizards from getting all the spells together?"
"Exactly."
"That's why one of you got into my head?"
"Precisely."
"You totally ruined my life, you know that," said Rincewind hotly. "I could have really made it as a wizard if you hadn't decided to use me as a sort of portable spell book. I can't remember any other spells. They're too frightened to stay in the same head as you."
"We're sorry."
"I just want to go home. I want to go back to where..." A trace of moisture appeared in Rincewind's eye. "To where there's cobbles under your feet. And some..."